particular study is called Nutrition and Fitness for Life, and it's $1.5 million study that it's a 4-year community-based cancer risk reduction study that's funded nationally by the American Cancer Society. And you can see that our research team is quite multidisciplinary. Regular physical activity, weight control, and healthier food choices could reduce significantly the proportion of disease, its healthcare costs, and related deaths. A sedentary lifestyle and obesity are independent risks that have been linked to colon cancer, postmenopausal breast cancer, cancers of the endometrium, pancreas, prostate, and kidney, as well as other chronic illnesses. We know that women are less likely to be physically active than men. Ethnic minorities have higher rates of physical inactivity in comparison to the overall population. Physical inactivity increases with increasing age, and the prevalence of physical inactivity decreases with increasing levels of education and income. Other important mediating and moderating factors are self-efficacy, enjoyment of physical activity, social support, perceived benefits and barriers, intensity level of that particular physical activity, and of course the physical environment. The model that we're using, you can see it's going to take all of us working together to look at a framework for the determinants of physical activity and behavior. What this particular model indicates is that our strategies have to be multifactorial. Human social environments encompass the immediate physical environment, social relationships, and cultural milieus within which defined groups of people function and they interact. And often, sometimes, adequate community supports are not in place to help people become physically active and live more healthful lives. So the primary aim of this particular community-based randomized controlled cancer reduction trial is to compare changes in physical activity behavior, look at dietary fruits and vegetables intake, and health outcomes in a community sample of two groups of relatively healthy African-American adults. So we have a control group and we have an intervention group, which is called New Fit for Life. This Nutrition and Fitness for Life program, we know that behavior is multifactorial. Social cognitive theory and socio-ecological perspectives presume that individuals are social beings who derive their sense of self and their personal efficacy from others through their interpersonal exchanges with others. And that includes environmental, cultural, societal factors which influence our health choices, which we also know influence our health outcomes. So oftentimes, like I said before, adequate community supports, they're not in place to help people live more physically active lives and live a more meaningful, productive, and influence their health choices. So what we've done is we know by collaborating with community partners from different sectors and implementing interventions that are designed to fit within the infrastructure of that particular neighborhood. So we hope that these interventions will be sustained after the research study has been completed, and so we leave something in place in that particular neighborhood that will continue. So we hope at the end that the community does not feel taken advantage of and by the scientific process or by the scientific community, and we hope that people in those neighborhoods feel like they participated in the process. So this New Fit for Intervention program, what underlies it is Nguza Saba, the Seven Principles, and it's an African-centered philosophy of life. We use it to inspire, to guide, and to influence the way we work with participants, our community partners, and with each other as the research team. The intervention consists of two components, a group and a tailored physical activity counseling and education. And then there's a group health education through what we called a participative process, where individuals can share their successes, they can share their challenges, all within their sociocultural context. We use targeted health education, we do skills training, we provide support and encouragement. We assist with goal setting and problem solving and feedback, and plus we do a demonstration. So some of the modules, we have modules each week. We have modules that are called Creating New Health Habits and Making Healthful Choices, Simple Steps to Prevent Cancer, Energize yourself, stay physically active. Healthy weight, healthy life. Is soul easy to eat right? Cooking healthy with pizzazz and emotional soul for your health. So in this particular sample, the study is ongoing. Right now we have enrolled 164 people. Randomization is working for this particular project. There are no statistically significant differences on the demographic characteristics between the intervention and the control group. The mean age of the total sample is 45 years. They range from 20 to 78 years old. 79% are females, 21% are males, 92% are high school graduates, 34% are married, 28% are professionals, and 45% of the total sample have an annual household income above $35,000, which is the national average. In terms of counties, there are three major counties that are represented from this data. We have Alameda County that represents Oakland, California, San Francisco County, that's San Francisco, California, and San Mateo County, and the particular cities that are represented are East Palo Alto, Redwood City, Menlo Park, and Livermore over in the East Bay. As you can see, as compared to the other city, Oakland actually has a larger proportion of African Americans, and thus most of our recruitment efforts have been concentrated in that particular area. We use our community networks, which offers us very distinct methodological and practical benefits. And so we think that with its strong influence, its stability, and existing norms, these sociocultural networks have been increasingly engaged in the lives of often hard-to-reach people. When we look at the neighborhood in general, we see that a majority of the participants live in detached single housing and represent about 49.7% of the sample. When you look at neighborhoods to see whether the environment is friendly or unfriendly for physical activity, we found that four particular things make a neighborhood friendly for this particular in this particular Bay Area. So sidewalks on most streets in the neighborhood, transit stop that's within 10 to 15 minutes from home, sidewalks that are well maintained, and four-way intersections in the neighborhood tend to be what a friendly neighborhood is for physical activity. What we find in terms of barriers for a neighborhood environment that's not friendly for physical activity, and this is where improvements are needed if we're going to implement community-level public health interventions to try to increase people being physically active. There needs to be more free or low-cost recreation facilities, stores that are within walking distance from home, neighborhood group physical activity opportunities, bicycle paths that are maintained, beautification of the neighborhood, and crime reduction efforts at night to make it safe to walk at night. Traffic was reported not to be an issue in terms of engaging in physical activity in that particular neighborhood. So some of the things that we needed to do to try to enhance neighborhood opportunities, we are constantly in talks with local gyms, with community centers, with churches, urban planning officials, parks and recreation, senior citizens centers. We're trying to get everybody involved. For us, it's important that, yes, we're doing this research, we get the data, we prove that it works, but we certainly want to leave something in place that can be maintained and that can be sustained once we leave. So when we started to look at what effects that this private-public partnerships were having on physical activity behavior, the tool that we use is the International Physical Activity Questionnaire tool. It's sometimes frequently referred to as IPAC. It's a nice tool because it is standard and has been used in over 15 countries, so you can compare results not only within the United States, but you can compare results across countries. So there are four areas of physical activity that's normally measured: frequency, intensity, type, and time. And there are different types of physical activity because we know, especially for women, that there are different types, they engage in different types of physical activity. So I'm only going to report on leisure time physical activity and show you what we found from baseline to 3 months. So leisure time physical activity, that included recreation and sports as well. And I also pulled out walking because it's an activity that the CDC recommends and that we know that's something easy to do. It's free, and you can do it without too much effort. So vigorous activity included aerobics, running fast, bicycling fast, just doing anything faster. And moderate activities included anything at a regular pace. So what you can see when you look at the intervention group from baseline to 3 months, in terms of walking, the mean number of days per week engaged in walking and leisure time increased significantly from 1.1 days per week to 2.6 days per week. And then when you look at the minutes they engaged in vigorous activity, it increased from baseline from 3.2 minutes to a whopping 42 minutes, which has improved quite a bit. And you'll see there's some statistical differences. When you look at moderate intensity physical activity from baseline in 3 months, although it wasn't statistically significant, you do see a change from 3 minutes per day to almost 30 minutes per day. And so we're hoping to improve in that area. So in summary, it doesn't want to summarize. In general, majority of the sample view their neighborhoods as being physical activity unfriendly, with improvements needed in physical environment as well as neighborhood opportunities. And we think that's the key, the neighborhood opportunities to participate in physical activity. And after participating in New Fit, the intervention group increased significantly their leisure time physical activity over time from baseline of 3 months as compared to control group participants. We also saw the same thing with fruits and vegetables and the other variables that I didn't present today. We're also seeing increases in those variables as well. So to conclude, socio-ecological interventions that are practical and consistent with sociocultural core values of individuals that fit within the context of people's everyday lives can increase physical activity behavior, but you have to be creative in doing this. And so our next steps for research, we're looking at determining which physical and social environments enhance living in a physically active neighborhood. We also would like to get an economist involved and do a cost-effectiveness analysis, what it's costing our community partners to participate with us, and then how much would it cost to sustain those particular activities in those neighborhoods. So some of the major limitations of this study are pretty obvious. One, a lot of our measures are self-reported. We do have them on pedometers that we collect data every week. This was a mostly healthy sample of African American, mostly female. In order to be in the study, they did have to have a body mass index of 25 or higher, so it was an overweight sample. And in terms of the geographic size, our numbers are increasing. We have 124 now, and we expect to get up to about 300. So that's a limitation as well. Thank you.